How is everyone enjoying the series that we're doing on the Lord's Prayer? All good? Tim, I thought, gave a most amazing, hi Robbie, amazing message last week about holiness, which I thought was so phenomenal. And I just love the way that it was so applicable and very clear. And holiness is not something that we do. It's something that God does for us and gives us. It's not anything like that. So I think it was a big revelation for all of us. And so today I'm going to be following on that theme of the Lord's Prayer. We've done Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, we've done holiness, and the next bit is your kingdom. So today I'm going to be talking about the kingdom of God. And I've been around a while in the church, and this is not a message that I've heard preached about a lot. And actually, even if you've been in a church setting or from a Christian home, I don't think really the kingdom of God is something that we talk about a lot. I mean, can you remember the last time you heard a message about the kingdom, specifically about the kingdom of God? It's quite a long time, isn't it? So it's one of those things we don't hear a lot. You don't hear like Rick Warren and whoever you listen to on YouTube talk about the kingdom very much. But it's actually so, so important. And it was the biggest topic that Jesus spoke about. Do you know that? He mentioned the kingdom of God over 100 times. So this was his like number one topic that he spoke about, the kingdom of heaven. Always talking about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is near. And he was always talking about the kingdom. So it's really something that obviously is pretty important to Jesus and then to us. So today I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God and what that means for his people. And so if you are a note taker, the title is My Role in the Kingdom of God, if anyone does that. I'd always do notes, no matter what. I just love it because it just helps me. I'm one of those learners that has to write things down, or else I don't get it. It kind of just goes in one ear out the other. So first of all, I'm going to establish what we mean when we talk about the kingdom of God in this context. And I've skipped through here. So I want us to look at some background first of all. And so to just kind of like set the scene about the kingdom, I want us to look first of all in the book of Genesis. And Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, if you didn't know that, he described God as creating earth and then creating man. You know, we all know that story, 7 days of creation. He created all the animals and created man and created earth. And it describes God giving man, or Adam, dominion, rule. You've all read this, yeah? Rule over the earth. And at that point in time, this was a perfect earth. When God first created it, it was perfect. There was no blemish. It had no sin. You know, the lion and the lamb probably walked together. There was no fear. There was no pain. There was no illness. This was a perfect, unblemished earth that God had just created, a brand new earth. And over that earth, he gave man rule. He said, right, this I've just made this, and now I want you to rule it. You to be the kings, I guess. You know, the ruler of earth. And what I think that God intended was to extend the culture of heaven. So I think it was like, you know, he made Adam and Eve in his image, and then I think he created earth in some sort of image of heaven, or definitely a culture of heaven, so that his kingdom through earth, and I'm just sort of skipping here. I've got my notes a bit mixed up. Here we go. Oh, it's nice when that happens, isn't it? When you lose yourself. Exactly. You can wait. Patience is part of love, isn't it? Just remind you of all that. Please be loving to me. So God intended to extend the culture of heaven on earth as it was in heaven. But we all know what happened, don't we? Adam and Eve sinned and they rebelled against God and they followed the enemy. And basically at that point, they relinquished control of earth over to the enemy, to Satan. And God gave them the rule, he gave them the right to rule, and then they act of their own will, gave it away, gave it to the enemy, and so therefore just handed it over. So therefore they're not rulers anymore. Do you get what I mean? So then at that point, God's plan was put in motion for the Son of God, Jesus, to get that dominion back, because the whole point was that Adam and Eve, man would rule, they would have dominion over earth, they gave it away, and then he was like, right, I need a plan, I'm going to send Jesus so that they can get that rule back. And actually, if you look in the Old Testament, God really showed what type of king and what type of kingdom the kingdom of heaven is like. And I just want to talk about the kingdom. When I was studying this week, I looked into various definitions of what the kingdom is. And I think it was one of those things that you think, what is actually the kingdom? Because it's spoken about so much in the present, in heaven. Is it the kingdom that's going to come? There's quite a few different options in terms of kingdom. But I just found a really simplistic explanation, and I really need things like set out for me really simple. I'm quite a simple person. I get very confused very easily, as you probably tell. So I need things like laid out like a child, like step one, step two, because then it goes into my brain. And so I found this one really, really helped. And it describes a kingdom, and it has to have five things. So the first thing is it needs to have a king or a ruler. Number two, the ruler rules and has power. Number three, the king has a people over which he rules. Four, there is a specific location in which the kingdom exists. And five, there is some sort of culture in that kingdom. You know, it represents something. And so in this context, in the kingdom that I'm talking about, there's kingdom of light, kingdom of heaven, and then there is a kingdom of darkness. And whether you know it or not, every single human being on earth is part of one of those. There's no like middle ground. Even if you're a nice person, if you don't know Jesus, the Bible tells us that you're in the kingdom of darkness. So you literally, there's two kingdoms, either good or bad, and light or darkness, death and life, God and the enemy. And even if, you know, a lot of people, you hear this sort of trapped about, you know, I'm a really good person, so I'll go to heaven. You know, and even non-Christian friends, it's kind of a thing that, well, if you're a decent person, you're a decent human being, then that should be cool. But the Bible tells us, which is the truth, that only Jesus is the only way. And I think that really, this kingdom that we're on earth right now is really very much the prevailing culture is one of darkness. Don't you agree? You know, like when you turn on the telly, it's very much a dark world. And the culture of a kingdom of darkness is filled with certain things. It's filled with angst, sin, self, jealousy, violence, war, hurting others, pain, fear, greed, idolatry. And you really don't need to live under a rock to see that this happens all the time. You know, you turn on the telly and it's just full of bad news, isn't it? Generally bad news. Actually, 2 years ago, I kept reading the news, and every time I read the news, I felt really sad. And I was like, literally, you just see all this bad stuff, people hurting each other, greed and lies. And I just was like, Lord, I feel so sad when I read this. I'm not going to read the paper again. I'm not going to read the news. So literally, I haven't read the news for 2 years. So I have no idea when Tim says to me, can you believe what happened with Boris this week? And I'm like, I literally have no idea because I don't know what's going on, which is probably ignorance is bliss. That's my ignorance. My ignorance is bliss, honestly, because I have no idea. But really, we're in a culture where self is king. You know, we live in this kingdom here on earth, which self, it's all full of self, self-help. Even just, you know, self-help in and of itself is not bad, you know, helping yourself. But it's actually become something that people have become their own gods. I can fix myself. I don't need anyone else to do it. I don't need a god to fix me. Self-help, selfishness, selfishness, selfishness. And it's all about, I really feel like, that if a culture is something, then people act out of that culture. Do you know what I mean? So if a kingdom is dark, people do tend to act out of that culture. You know, and if you look at it, if you look at the world, really nowadays, like celebrities are these gods, aren't they? They're put on a pedestal. People want to emulate them, like even down to what they wear, what music they listen to. This is why like tabloids sell so well, because everyone's so obsessed and so interested. And, you know, you see some of the big celebrities and people are screaming and crying and holding them on this massive pedestal and like they are gods. And it really is the case. People are constantly hurting people in this culture that we live in. Husbands and wives are spiritually, emotionally, and literally killing each other with their words. You know, so much of that happens nowadays. We live in a culture where, you know, there's so much abortion, and social media is like full of narcissistic, materialistic imagery. You know, it's so narcissistic. And if you are part of social media, it's one of those things you just think, wow, we're so into ourselves. The earth, the world is so into your own self. And that is really not what God intended for us, human beings, when he created in the first place. And the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus taught, flips all of the stuff that we're used to in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of earth completely on its head. And the kingdom of heaven has a culture that looks like this. It's full of love and joy and peace and patience, and it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. There's no judgment or gossip. There's no grumbling. It's kind. You know, these are sort of the cultures that you find in the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Jesus taught. He said that it was full of stuff like that. There is no idolatry. God is God, and we are his people. And so where I'm going with this is, really, if you belong in the kingdom of heaven, then what is the culture we should be carrying as people? You know, I watched The Founder. Have you seen The Founder by McDonald's? It's about the McDonald's sort of story. And the culture behind McDonald's is, even though they're just selling hamburgers, the culture that the guy, I can't even remember his name now, but he set up this culture of family. He wanted to create a place that was very family orientated. So if you do go to McDonald's, they do stuff to make the family feel important with their little Happy Meals and their balloons and stuff like that. Because he wanted to push this culture of family and like a hub. And McDonald's has kind of created that. They've got little iPads now. It's like a zone where they've got Wi-Fi. And they've evolved throughout the years. And every McDonald's employee carries that culture of McDonald's, of family. And if any of you work for a big corporate, they have training for culture. You know, like what is the culture of, for example, before I gave up my job and became a mum, I worked in a company called Savills and their property company. And we used to have, what is the culture of an employee of Savills? This is how you walk. You know, this is how you hold yourself. This is how you talk. This is how you interact with people. These are the types of people you socialize with, because it was all about culture. And they wanted you to live, breathe, and be a Savills person. I don't know if any of you have had that before with any of your businesses. I'm sure Tesco's do it. You know, the culture of the company is really important, because then they want people to act like it. So it's the same with us. And if we belong to the kingdom of heaven, then our attitudes and our actions and our thought life should actually line up with that. And if there's a disconnect, that's a problem. You know what I mean? As a citizen of heaven, we operate like under a completely different, exact opposite culture. As a citizen of heaven, we're not shaken when life gets hard, because life does get hard for everybody. We are living in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and we are in a dominion surrounded by a lot of people in the kingdom of darkness. So we will get hurt. Bad stuff will happen. And every single person in this room has had something really horrible happen to them. I can almost guarantee it. You know, we've all struggled. We've all had pain. But if you are in the kingdom of heaven, then that's, your response is different to someone who's in the kingdom of darkness. You don't crumble because God has given you victory. You know, he's given you joy despite your circumstance. So can you get a picture of like what your life should be full of as a believer who is part of a kingdom, who has a culture like that? What should our lives look like? So because we're part of that culture, it should drive everything that we do, everything that we value, everything that we think. It should inform all of our decisions because we are part of that. And honestly, I truly believe if we're not intentional about that and we don't make an effort to set kingdom culture in our lives and actually make that the benchmark for everything that we do, something else will take over. And if we don't intentionally walk every day in that place of, I belong to the kingdom of heaven, I am a citizen of heaven, God is my king, this is the culture, then other things will take over. And then you will crumble when things happen. You will lose your joy. You know, all of that will happen because you're not intentionally digging in and intentionally saying, I belong to Jesus, he is my king, and this is the standard that I live to. Thank you, Sherry. Philippians 3:20 says this. Can I have a Bible, please? Who's got their Bible on them? Anyone? Do we anyone bring Bibles to church nowadays? Everyone's got phones, haven't they? Philippians 3:20. Whoever gets that first, can you just shout it out? I just want someone to read it out.
I've got my glasses on.
Oh, thank you.
Popcorn. Philippians, too far.
But we are citizens of heaven.
Here we go.
And are eagerly waiting for our Savior to come from there, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, so the Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. And it is like a really, really big deal. And this is the thing that I was talking about when I spoke about our Father and God as our Abba Father. We can like logically and intellectually know something, but it's different to really knowing. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, you can know and appreciate that it must be really hard to be starving, but you might not at all. It's completely different to someone who's actually starving. Do you know what I mean? Or someone, you could understand someone's had a really bad life experience and feel compassion for them, but if you've not experienced it, it's completely different. And so if you experience that you are a child of God and you've experienced deliverance, then this should actually put you in a better place. You know, if you've experienced God's love, rather than just knowing, you know, theologically that he loves you, it will change you. It will transform you and you will get it because it is a massive big deal. And it is a really big honor that we've been invited into this kingdom when we don't deserve it. You know, it's a really massive, massive honor. And I just feel like we should never get so used to it that we take the honor for granted and we just kind of, Jesus is a commodity. He's like the person we go to with our wish list, and that's kind of it. But really, on the outside, we look no different to people in the darkness. I'm not talking about clothes. You know, we can dress the same. That's cool. We don't have to start wearing like robes and stuff. But you know, like there should be something different about us. And it shouldn't be one of those things in your workplace where they're like, oh, you're a Christian. I would never have thought that, you know? But that happens. That, like, happens. People are, like, sometimes surprised. That's never happened to me. No, but it has, actually. It has happened to me. It has happened to me. And that was a long time ago. Caveat. But it has. And, yeah, it did. And actually, that really upset me because I was like, I literally look no different. I look no different. And that is actually, there's something really wrong. If I look completely the same as somebody who literally lives in the kingdom of darkness, what the heck? You know? What actually am I doing? And who am I? And who am I representing? Because when you're in a kingdom, in the kingdom of God, you're like an ambassador here on earth. You know, he says that we're foreigners here. But so much so, we become really comfortable. We almost become so cozy on earth that this literally is our life and our kingdom. And everything that we do builds life here. You know, we just spend 12 hours a day working to build up riches. Or we spend all of our time focusing on ourselves. Or rather than actually building relationships or going out there and talking about the kingdom, we're so obsessed with our bodies that we're working out all the hours that we have left over. You know what I mean? And then actually there's no different, and we're not being an ambassador. And I think that should kind of like be something that like touches us, because it really did me, and it challenged me when I was like doing my study about this, and I was looking into it, and I was like, do I actually carry that ambassador culture? You know, where I go, do people know that? Like, am I different? And it just, I think that we should be reflective sometimes about, and get honest. You know, it's not enough, actually, once we've decided to have Jesus in our lives, and then he's done all this great stuff, that we then just carry on and just blend in. You know, everyone knows it. If, like, the Queen comes to a town, or the Prince William and Princess Kate, you know, because they're like ambassadors for the royal family. I know they're royal themselves, but they do carry that sense of everything about the royal family behind them. Do you know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, you go to a culture of football. You know, what does everyone do at a football match? I've been in a couple of times. They're like crazy people. They're like jumping up and down because the culture is like passion. There is a massive passion at football. If you've not been, you should go, just because it's like really mental. And they like scream and shout and get like emotional over football. They like shout at the referee and they're all going mad over football. I don't get it. But that whole culture actually informs people. And I've been with people who are like quite sort of like, you know, shy and like refined. And then you get them on the football and they're like, what are you doing? And they're shouting and they're singing all these crazy, like rude songs. But it's like they just fit in with the culture. You know what I mean? And then it informs how they behave. And I think if we stop being grateful and amazed that we are in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, I think that's going to be a really sad thing, because then we won't carry that culture in our own lives, in our personal walk. We won't carry it in our homes. We won't carry it in our workplace. It will just be like a side add-on, and it will actually then become a Sunday morning. That's all it will be, because it won't be like really who we are. Because as a citizen of heaven, you have literally passed from death to life, which is something to get really excited about. Like, I bet if I gave one of you 5 million quid, you'd be really excited, because it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to change my life. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm going to help this person. But I wonder if we walk with that same attitude every day with the honor that we've been given. Like, oh my gosh, I've been given this. I've been given access to all of this stuff. I have access to the King, to God, who says that I can come boldly to the throne room and make a request. You know? And like, do I do anything with it? Or do I just meander along and moan about my life? And, you know? Like, has it changed anything? Because what's happened as a citizen of heaven, you've literally gone from like spiritual bankruptcy to spiritual abundance straight away. You've gone from, as Tim said, you've gone from being unholy to holy, and you've not even done anything. You've literally just asked Jesus into your life, and then he makes you holy. That's massive. You've gone from sinner to saint. You've gone from curse to blessing. These are really big things. And I know it might be simple, and it might be like, yeah, Hayley, we know that you seem a little bit simple and basic. But actually, I do believe in simple truths and not looking at everything complicated, because it is really simple. The message of Jesus is very simple. It is really simplistic. It should be easy for a child to get, you know, because it is. And sometimes we overcomplicate it and get fancy, but you won't get that with me. You're like, You want something deep and theological. But this actually is, believe it or not. If we value the absolute honour and privilege of being called into God's kingdom, we will really want what he wants for us, and we will desire to live our lives in the way he wants us to live. Because guaranteed, if you worked for a king, you would take your orders, and you'd be like, right, he'd be saying, okay, this is your clothing allowance. These are the people I want you to meet. This is the stuff I want you to do. I want you to sort out a meeting with them and get peace over there. And you'd do it. You'd go out and you'd be like, how does the king want me to dress? You'd be given a list of like how you should, what you should look like and what you should do and how you should talk. And you'd do it. And kind of that's what Jesus says. He tells us that what we should do is have love and joy and peace and patience and not keep a record of wrongs. He actually gives us a list of instructions which are actually so amazing and nice and lovely. He just wants us to love each other and love him. And if it means something to you, it will change how you behave. If it really means a lot to you to be in the kingdom of heaven and to have God as your king, it will change how you behave because it will mean so much to you. And when I was talking about God the Father, I was saying that, you know, my dad loves me, and I know he does, and I've got this relationship where I am a daddy's girl, but I would never do something deliberately to hurt him knowing that he wouldn't want me to do it. Do you see what I mean? I wouldn't want to hurt his feelings. And the fear of the Lord isn't like scared fear. It's more of like a, I love you so much, I wouldn't want to hurt you. And having that attitude of caring so much and making the kingdom so important in your life that God is so important that you don't want to upset him, you don't want to hurt him. And then it will affect how you behave in your daily life. You know, Jesus told his followers to be childlike. Who did he say would inherit the kingdom? Like a childlike faith. Just simple. And everything in the kingdom of heaven is turned on its head. Jesus was saying that the kingdom of heaven is literally opposite to, at that time, the kingdom of the Romans and the religious, pious Pharisees and the world. So really that kind of part about the kingdom now is so much that Jesus says to us, the kingdom of heaven is near, it's within you. So if you become a believer, the kingdom of heaven then is within you because Jesus is within you. And so if you're part of that kingdom, then that should drive how you behave. You'll be driven by a culture of wanting to be loving and patient and kind. And it is simple, but I wonder how many of us do it in our daily life intentionally. You know, make a point of doing it. Make a point of being joyful. And make a point of choosing not to get offended. But so much so, we do sometimes look just like the people who are in the kingdom of darkness. Because we won't be intentional about being ambassadors in the kingdom of light. So a really cool part, and we know we talk about it a lot at LVC, is he taught us about the now aspect of the kingdom of heaven, but he also talked about the not yet, the to come. You know, the kingdom to come. And in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray, your kingdom come. And I believe that is partly your kingdom come in my life, and then you go out and that affects your life. And then also the kingdom to come. So the kingdom to come, and I think that's really cool because really anyone on earth can become a citizen of heaven. They only have to accept Jesus as their personal saviour, say sorry for the bad they've done, and then crack on. It's literally that simple. It's like being given the best ticket to the best event, and all you have to do is phone up the person who runs it and say, can I have a ticket? And he's like, cool, but can you just go love other people? Like, this is literally what's required of you. Can you just go and love someone else? And then it's like a really good deal, you know? It's very simple. He made it really, really easy. He made it really, really easy. God made it so simple for us to be redeemed. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to make sacrifice. We don't have to go through process. Literally just need a willing heart and obedience to then just follow that. It's so simple. So the to come, the not yet part. And this is the cool part. Like, I'm always like telling the kids, you know, because I want them to live, I want them to know that this is not their home. Like, earth is just somewhere where we live. We're like foreigners, you know, we're just kind of like, we shouldn't like be so comfortable here that this is where we're like laying our bed and we feel so familiar and cool being here. We should almost feel like we totally don't belong, which is a good feeling, because actually we belong in the kingdom of heaven, you know? So if you ever feel like, I just don't belong here, that's a good thing. So the two come bit, Jesus made it really clear that one day he would be returning, literally, in bodily form. And I know you guys have heard this, but have you ever thought about, like, Jesus is actually going to come physically? So if he did come tomorrow and he came into this, you know, we would hear it. We'd all run outside. We'd hear all the shofar, the trumpets blowing, and it would be like, what? This is happening. He's literally going to be someone you can touch and feel. He's got heavenly body that he ate with. You know, he showed us what heavenly body would be like when he resurrected. He ate with his disciples. They could touch him. He could walk through walls. He said that we're going to get those heavenly bodies. But one day, he said, he's literally going to come down to earth and take up rule on earth. Like, literally. Have you ever thought about how cool that is? That he is going to come to earth and then be a king on earth. I think that's amazing. And it does say, though, that first of all, this earth that we know will pass away, in terms of there's probably going to be some sort of like showdown, the sun's going to do something, meteorites, who knows? You know, we can all, there's probably loads of people out there that have got a lot of different ideas about what's going to happen. But ultimately, the earth that we know it, but the same location, is going to pass away. It's going to get all mashed up, and then Jesus is going to come down and bring a new Jerusalem. And what it says in the Bible is that when he comes, his people are going to help him rule. That's like us. So one day, you're going to rule with Jesus. Depending on, you know, how you do here, depends on like what you, you know, in terms of what he can trust you with. And he said that he will give people like a crown to like rule kingdoms and rule cities. So literally, Nayli could be a ruler, probably be a ruler in the New Jerusalem. And then we'll know King David. Like, this is actually real. You know, who knows? You could be with King David ruling. Oh, yeah, you are. Do you know what? I didn't even mean to do that. Honestly. Boom, yeah. So one day soon, he is going to come back, and it says that he's going to come back in physical form, and he's going to destroy all of the enemies of which country? Anyone know? Israel. It says he's going to destroy all of the enemies of Israel. So that should show you how important Israel is to God. You know, he's literally, physically going to come down and destroy any nation which is against Israel. That's one thing he's going to do. He then said that he's going to let us join with him in rule in a brand new kingdom. I think sometimes we get so focused on being here and then think of, yeah, and then when I die, you know, I'll sort everything out here and it'll all be nice and tidy and I'm really comfortable here. And then when I die, you know, then it will just happen and I don't really know what's going to happen. But actually, the Bible is full of what's going to happen. It's really cool. And our life here does make a difference about what happens next. You know, once we've entered into the kingdom, we're already in that kingdom, but we get a chance to do all of the stuff we won't be able to do when we're literally in heaven, because there won't be any lost. There's no pain. There's no intentionality that we're going to have, because everything will be easy. You know, we won't have to consider it pure joy when trials come to test us. We won't have to do all of the things that we do now. So it's a really great opportunity that we have living here to be able to do all of that stuff, you know? So he's invited us to be part of something really, really amazing. And if we understand how amazing the kingdom of heaven is and the kingdom of God is, and if we understand that we belong to that and we're part of that, and he's going to ask us to rule with him, and he's called us ambassadors and part of his kingdom, then that really should drive so much of what we do here on earth. So here's my challenge, really. I just wanted to challenge us to really think about what we value, like genuinely, without just giving your rote answers of, yeah, no, I love Jesus and it's all cool. But genuinely, what do you truly value? And I want us to take a moment, because this is a simple subject, but it's also a really big, big, important subject of understanding our role as citizens of heaven. And it's really, really important for us to grasp this. So I want us to really think about, you know, what consumes most of your thought life? Is your thought life focused on the kingdom of heaven, on love, joy, peace, Jesus? Or is it kind of mainly, if you had a pie chart, you know, is it like the biggest chunk is like work, life stresses, and then there's like the other little bit, which is like self-care, boom, and then like a little slither on a Sunday, which is like church or God stuff? And I'm not trying to get at anyone, because I've been somewhere where the pie is completely me, you know. So, you know, it's not pointing fingers, and all of us have, really, to a certain extent. But I want us to really get real with ourselves about what truly do you value? Do you truly value being part of the kingdom of God? Is your thought life really switched on to God and the kingdom of God that you're part of? Because it's not just your purpose to become a disciple and then have this like great life on earth. That's all necessary and it's all cool, but your true purpose is to exist for those not yet in the kingdom. Because or else you may as well just like bail out. Do you see what I mean? You may as well, if that's really all your purpose, to become a disciple, like you're already done and then you're finished, it's like there is no purpose. But God's put us here, and your purpose is to reach others, which is what Jesus did. So I just think it's a really great challenge to all of us to, you know, who are you reaching? And the people that you're reaching, what are you carrying? Like, how are you acting as an ambassador? Because we all get a sphere of influence, don't we? And we all get people that we affect and touch, whether it's our employees, our boss, or anything to do with work, our friends. We get this opportunity to be around people who don't know Jesus yet and to be literally that light. So the challenge is, are we being that light? And are we being that ambassador? And are we carrying that culture of heaven? Because that is our purpose. And it should be reflected in everything we do. And every decision that we make should be coming from a place of, we belong to God. He is our king. He gives really cool instructions. How should I apply it in this situation? You know, what does God want me to say to this friend? How can I be the light? Because he's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us literally all the tools to do everything that we need to do here. But I just don't want us to waste it, you know? And I probably feel strongly about it, because I spent a long time wasting it. Unfortunately, there are too many Christians unwilling to change the status quo. You know, they like the things the way they like them. You know, I just don't get when you see Christians rallying against the world, you know, like coming on marches or rallying against sexuality issues or whatever. And it's like, this is the world. Like, hello, we are in the kingdom of darkness. Of course they're going to be like that. Don't, like, rally against it. The best thing you can do is literally be the light and touch the people that you're affecting in your sphere and lead them to Jesus. It's like one at a time, and Jesus modeled that. He didn't actually go out rallying against anybody. Everyone rallied against, you know, the religious rallied. And it's like, I'm not saying it's bad to go on a march, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what I'm saying is that I just think, rather than being so negative and outlook of the world, like, isn't it wrong that they're doing that? Isn't it bad that they're doing that? It's like, well, yeah. Like, it is the kingdom of darkness. This is literally where we live. We are on earth. We are the difference because we're in the kingdom of heaven. You know what I mean? And it's a kingdom you can't see right now, but soon it's going to be a kingdom that you see when you die and go to heaven, or when it comes, and then everyone will see it. It's just as real as if the New Jerusalem, we could see it out the window. That's how real it is, because we are literally in the kingdom right now when you've accepted Jesus into your heart. And I don't mean this to be heavy. Like, I hope it's not coming across as heavy, but I just feel like sometimes we just need to get real with ourselves rather than going through, like, we can be on autopilot on life and it can just, like, happen. And our week just happens because we're so used to our own routines. And then it's just like another week is gone. And it's like, literally, if you look back on your week you've just had, have you affected anybody in a positive way in terms of, have you told anyone about Jesus? Simple. What, like, that's literally, you could ask that at the end of the day or at the end of the week, in a way that will affect them. Have you prayed for somebody who was ill, or have you lived like Jesus? And he was constantly teaching, and he was the kindest in the room, and he was helpful and giving and loving. And he wasn't just a nice person, because there are loads of nice people, especially in England. And there's a lot of polite, nice people. There are, though. Yeah, no, England is all full of nice people. You know, everyone's nice and lovely and just like, you know, let's have a cup of tea and it'll all be okay. And how's your week gone? And there is a lot of nice people in this country. And but it's not enough. I don't mean, are you, like, nice to people? I mean, have you lived like an ambassador for Jesus? And I think that's a really good thing for us to get real with ourselves every day, every week. Have I actually been the light? Have I acted like I even belong in the kingdom? Or do I look so much like everyone else, they wouldn't even realize, but they just know that I go to church? Because that's so ineffective. And that is not what Jesus came to do. And so, you know, if we're not clear on what we value, we will become inward and self-serving, and we will get really comfortable being here on earth. And you'll go around in circles, ultimately living this Christian life pretty inwardly, going over the same issues, you know, going over the same sin issues, for example. I can't seem to get out of this. I keep doing this. It's like, you're not bound because you're in the kingdom of heaven. You're literally not bound. There's nothing controlling you because you've been cut. The chains have been cut. All of that stuff is done now. So if you wake up intentional about, I am in the kingdom of heaven. I am God's kid. I am not controlled by sin anymore. Done. And it's an intentional thing. It doesn't just happen. It's not like a magic thing that happens. It's a will. It's a choice every single day. Let's not become people so at home here on earth that we spend all of our time building our lives for here. You know, storing up everything here. Because what did God say about where we should store things? Treasure in heaven. How do we store treasure in heaven? Does anyone know? Tithe? Praying? What else? How do we store up? Sorry, it feels like a kids' church lesson. This is what I do with the kids. I like interaction. How we behave. Yeah. Like, so how we behave, like, what our actions are, how we affect people, what Jesus would do, exactly. So I think that is really, if your circle, your pie chart of your life or your day is primarily self, that's an issue that I think you should sort, because actually that's dangerous. Because actually then you're getting into that area of being like a lukewarm Christian, because you're not really fully anything. You know, your pie, work is not bad, doing all those things are not bad, but your pie of your thought life, your actions, that pie should be primarily kingdom of heaven, God stuff, your relationship with Jesus. You know, you do have time to read the Bible, you do have time to pray, there is time, if you don't put you, me, first. And that's what we all do generally at times, if we'll be real and not religious and not give the whole, you know, no, I do that. It's like, do you? Cool, I hope you do, that's wicked. But we should, because it can give us so much. Anyone who's spent an hour reading the Bible, half an hour praying, how much better do you deal with all your life situations? Everything comes into perspective. You can deal with stuff. You've spent time with God. He gives you direction. It's like good for you. It's good for us. He gave it to us for that reason. So we exist for, when you're in the kingdom of heaven, our purpose is really clear, that it's to make disciples. And this is a challenge we all need to make to ourselves. You know, who are you affecting in your life as a person who is a citizen of heaven, who is in the kingdom of light? Are you making disciples? Or are you just so comfortable with life that it's just passing you by and everything else is just taking over, rather than being effective soul winners? You know? Because that really is the whole point. That is our purpose right now. If you are a believer, that is your purpose. Because that is the Great Commission. That's what Jesus commissioned every single person who came into his kingdom to do. Very simple. So, like, if you have switched off because it's all a little bit simple and basic and the way that I talk is annoying, I get it. It's fine. Like, not every... No, but, you know, some people don't like it. It's fine. All I want you to take away from today, literally, is that the kingdom of heaven is so real. It's so real. You can't see it right now, but it is very real. And if you are, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you have crossed over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that kingdom has a culture. And that culture should drive everything that you do. And the culture of the kingdom of heaven is a culture full of love and grace and courage and hope and joy. And that's what our lives should be permeated in as true citizens of heaven. Because we have a king who loves us, a king who cancels our debt, even though we don't deserve it, a king who not only is some faraway ruler, he's an up-close personal father who loves you, who wants to know you, who likes you, not just because he has to, he genuinely loves you. And I think that if we all put kingdom as our priority, then it will change everything that we do. So I would love us to place value on it. So when we come together, you know, when Tim was talking and Nicola was talking this morning, when we worship, we are genuinely coming to worship a king who is amazing and worthy, that we should not become so used to church that we don't actually feel overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. And then that will change how we worship, because we'll be so in love with him and we'll be so... give him the correct honor that he deserves, that will be like, actually magnify your name. You are mighty. Despite what I'm going through on earth, I am on the kingdom of, this is a kingdom of darkness, but you've brought me into the kingdom of light and you are the king. You've crossed me over from death to life. We will get excited. You know, Grace went to an Ariana Grande concert in the week and she showed me a picture of like the video of everyone going crazy. And I was like, this is for a person who hasn't affected their lives, just sings about stuff. She gets this adoration and praise and like teenagers crying because they can see her like a mile away in the O2 because they're in the same room as her. And yet, so much passion can be lacking in a church situation because it's like, oh, I'm just a bit tired. I've had a long week. Sunday, I really wanted to be in bed today. Can't be bothered. Life is really hard for me, actually. God's not showing up. You know, we can actually do that. And I'm only saying that because I've been there. I know what it's like. But really, if we value so much being part of the kingdom, it will change how we worship. We will worship in spirit and truth, and we will worship with adoration and understand the awesomeness of God. So I want to encourage you guys to just care for the things he wants you to care for. And we talk about that a lot. And if you don't know, then just open your Bible, because he just simply put it out there. And the greatest command is what? Just love one another. And if you want to know what love is, it's not some like nice feeling. Love is patient. So be patient with each other, even when we're annoying. Be patient, you know? Be kind. What are the other ones? Yeah. Doesn't boast. Isn't lofty, proud. He's just given it to us so simply that a child can understand all of these simple truths, you know? So I just want you to remember who you are. I watched, have anyone seen Hook? It's a 90s film about Peter Pan. Have you seen that? It's a great film. And it's basically about Peter Pan who leaves Never Never Land, and he goes and he starts going out with Wendy in London. And then he basically, some in love with her, he decides to stay in London and doesn't go back to Never Never Land. And then him and Wendy are just living on Earth. They have some babies. You know, they get married, have babies. He's got a job in the city. And then he forgets totally that he's Peter Pan. He just remembers he's Peter. But he has no idea who he is. And so he is Peter Pan, but he forgets who he is. And the story of Hook is about Tinkerbell, who comes down, and she's like, remember who you are, Peter. You're Peter. You can defeat Hook. And you're like the coolest kid on the island, and you can fly, and you've got the greatest imagination. And he has no idea what they're talking about. And then he goes to Never Never Land, and then he remembers who he is. And they're saying, remember, Peter, remember who you are. And then you can suddenly fly. It's a good story. You should watch it. But it made me think about this. Like, remember who you are. Remember who you are. You don't belong in the kingdom of darkness. You don't belong in that mundane, this is just what your life is. You literally are part of a kingdom that is powerful, that is eternal, that will never fade away, that you have been given life, that death can't touch you now, that you have a king who's going to give you victory, who gives you joy. These are all exciting, amazing things. So like that, like remember Peter, remember who you are. It's like, I want you to remember. Let us walk around remembering who we are every day. Remember that you are a citizen of heaven. You have a king who loves you, who is the creator of the whole world, who has given you a really cool purpose that you only have whilst you're here to crack on with. And then you get a new one in heaven. But it's really important that you crack on with what he's given you here.